Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to each and every one of you, wherever you are. Our gospel reading today is about a wedding banquet, and we're going to start our praise by singing a hymn that many of you will remember either from your own weddings or weddings that you have attended. A beautiful hymn that celebrates love, divine love, and the space in human hearts for that divine love.
St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22. Once more Jesus spoke to the chief priests and Pharisees in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, maltreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad, so the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot, and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen."
This passage makes uncomfortable listening. It is part of Jesus' continued conversation with the Pharisees, and his anger builds. It moves from the rights expected by a landowner that we heard about last week to a deeply affronted generosity. A king who wants his subjects to enjoy a bountiful feast that he has prepared, wants them to enter into his great celebration of love. I believe invitations to the wedding banquet, to that celebration, fall thick and fast in our lives. Those nudges to write a letter, drop by a cake, make a phone call, say a prayer, they happen all the day long. And yet so often, after having the delightful thought, which in itself makes us feel warm and good, we crack on with our own priorities, our own busyness. Do we take our call to the banquet lightly? Are we sometimes half-hearted, our attention elsewhere? May God deliver us from that terrible moment at the end of the passage, when our attention would be drawn to the shabbiness of our response to his call, and we would be left speechless. In the silence, let us bring before God those things for which we are truly sorry. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of his great mercy hath promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And let us pray together the collect for today. Lord, we beseech thee, grant thy people grace to withstand the temptations of the world, and with pure hearts and minds to follow thee, the only God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us sing together our next hymn.
Teach us, Lord, for cause our eyes to see your majestic love and authority. Words of power that can never fail, let their truth prevail over unbelief. Speak, O Lord, and renew our minds. Help us grasp the heights of your plans for us. Truths unchanged from the dawn of time that will echo down through eternity, and by grace we'll stand on your promises, and by faith we'll walk as you walk with us. Speak, filled with your glory.
I've saved what would normally be our first reading, our psalm, until now. It is a psalm that is very precious to us all.
Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for ever. This is the word of the Lord.
Some time ago, I heard on the radio a man being interviewed who'd been torpedoed, or his ship had been torpedoed during the war, and he had spent 4 hours bobbing about in the waves in the Pacific before he was picked up. And the interviewer asked him, "How did you survive that? What did you think about in those shark-infested waters when you were quite on your own?" And he said, "I remembered that my Lord was with me. I have been a Christian all my life. And I said to myself over and over again, Psalm 23. The interviewer moved on. But I thought it was one of the greatest witnesses I had ever heard. Psalm 23 is almost the epitome of what it feels like to walk with Christ. And I wanted to remind us that the five things that I talked about last week, the connecting, the being active, the learning, the giving and the noticing, are all things that we do in the company of our Lord. I was very pleased with remembering the five things until I read the bishop's letter this week. It came out and it started talking about how we might as a church read the rule of six. Apparently, the Bishop of Oxford, who actually was the bishop who helped me discern my vocation, Stephen Croft, has developed a wonderful way of looking at how we are to manage as a church going forward during this period. And I think I should explore with you some of what he says. Firstly, he suggests to us that 6 months should become our new horizon. That at this time of year, we are used to looking forward to Christmas and get-togethers and family and so on. But Christmas is going to be unlike anything we have known before. And it is likely that it'll feel different and strange. And so instead, we should look ahead to Easter, the spring, and maybe better news. And during that time, we can sink ourselves into the seasons of the church for harvest, celebrating creation tide in November, thinking the themes of remembrance of All Souls and All Saints, and indeed Armistice Day, grief, human mortality, and the hope of resurrection. And of course, in December, we will celebrate God's kingdom of justice and peace and the coming of Jesus. We try to mark his coming at Christmas in different ways, with creativity and joy. In January, we think of Christ shining as a light in the darkness, never overwhelmed. February, we remember at Candlemas the gift of our baptism. And of course, March, we have Holy Week and Easter. In the end, what we're looking for at the moment is resurrection. 6 months is our new horizon. And then he talks about 6 days to work and a Sabbath to rest, reminding us that God, our Creator, took a 7th day to rest. And we need to do that too, and trust him with that, that the world will keep turning. Then he says, think of 6 people to journey with. He reminds us that so often the church has encountered a period of revival when it has seemed to be disbanded into remnants. Actually, it has found a new strength, a new deepening of discipleship along this way. 6 people that you might be able to walk with or meet in a socially distanced way or stay connected with and really deepen your relationship with so that you're able to be honest about your journey of faith and pray for one another. Then he suggests 6 ways to be salt and light. He says, it will be a demanding winter for the communities we serve in so many ways. And it's a good time to ask ourselves and one another, who are the people and the organisations that we will be supporting in the wider community? And that might be as a church, but certainly as individuals. What 6 ways might you think of being salt and light this year? For that is what we're called to be. So, 6 ways to be salt and light, 6 people to travel with, 6 days of work and a day of rest, 6 months as our horizon. And he also says, pleasingly, 6% to your church. This is seriously a challenging time for church finances. Income from lettings and fares and cash collections has dropped, and this is causing anxiety. We will need a miracle of giving to sustain the church through this period, Stephen writes. The Church of England normally recommends to give 5% of our income to and through the local church, giving further to charities of your choice. But if your income is failing or uncertain, you may of course need to reduce this. However, if your income is stable, could you give 1% more through the pandemic, through the whole of the next year and until the church finances recover? And can those who have previously given in cash move their giving in some way online? 6% to your church. 6 people to pray for. I want this one to be of particular importance to you. And I was thinking as I was washing my hands, as we all are doing a lot of at the moment, I wonder if each of my digits might be a person to pray for, to concentrate on one hand and think of 5 people, and then, of course, a 6th one for our palms and the back of our hands. 6 people to pray for steadily, that they too may learn of the wonder of having a Lord who is our shepherd and who walks at our side. So again, 6 months as the new horizon, looking forward to the resurrection. 6 days to work and a Sabbath rest. 6 people to journey with, to really deepen your relationship with as fellow disciples. 6 ways to be salt and light. 6 ways that you can serve. 6% of your income, if your income is remaining stable at this time, to your local church. 6 people to pray for, that they might come to Christ. So perhaps I've completely confused us. I really love the 5 ways of well-being, ways of building our emotional resilience for what lies ahead, and also ways of thinking about how we can open up opportunities for others to do the same. But I also really love Stephen Croft, and I like his way of thinking so positively about this next little while and blending in with it the rule of 6. I want you to take this seriously. I think that this is going to be a big challenge, both for ourselves, our communities, and our church. But that is an exciting thing. And it's an exciting thing because in all the midst of the waves and the possibility of sharks, we have our Lord with us. As we approach a time of prayer, I want us to read through again the words of Psalm 23 as we listen to the beautiful setting by Rutter. And I want us to think of those words as a prayer, not just for ourselves now, but think of the presence of our Lord across the world for all those who need him at this time. Let our hearts open with love for the world. Let us pray with yearning.
Shall feed me. members together in the body of Christ, let us pray together. Gracious God, we pray for the work and service of all care homes and day centres who care for the elderly and sick, and for those carers that look after family and friends in their own homes. We thank you for the many charitable organisations who raise money and provide supportive services, particularly at this time as they find inventive ways for fundraising. Bless their work and the work of all in the caring profession. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We lift to you all who work in the emergency services, the police, the firefighters and the paramedics, for the brave men and women who choose a profession where they often walk in danger. Surround them with your protection and equip them with all the skills they need to keep us and them safe. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, in a week where we learnt of 1 million lives lost worldwide to the pandemic, we pray for all leaders to make wise decisions, for those with particular scientific skills to find a vaccine, and for us all to think about others as we go about our daily lives. We look to you for hope and courage to carry on through these difficult times. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all finding their life painful, lonely, or uncertain, especially for those struggling financially, those with addictions, and those who struggle with mental health. Bring them hope, an end to their sufferings, and a resolution to their difficulties. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, we remember those who have died and all who are saddened by the death of a loved one, whether recently or marking an anniversary. Comfort them in their time of sorrow. May all those who have gone before us rest in your eternal peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, as we go out into the world this week, let us do so with courage, loving our neighbours and being faithful witnesses. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray with the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
One of the very difficult things at the moment is not being able to sing together. And we had a moment this week when we had to listen to a hymn that really, truly we wanted to sing together as a great shout of triumph, really, at the wonder of a life well lived and a life stepping forward to be with God. To be, we absolutely trust, seated at the wedding banquet. And so we're going to end with that hymn. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you all. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you now and always. Amen. Let us sing.